Thank you for listening to this recording from Chestnut Hill Baptist Church. Today, Pastor David Seip preaches a message called God's Apple Tree out of the Song of Solomon. We hope you find this message valuable and enriching.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament, the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, just two short verses in chapter 2. I haven't preached often from the Song of Solomon, but we're going to look there today. And if you'd like to follow along in the Pewback Bibles, I'm reading out of that translation, the NIV, page 479. This is the word of God to us this morning. Like a lily among thorns is my darling among the maidens. Like an apple tree among the trees of the forest is my lover among the young men. I delight to sit in his shade, and his fruit is sweet to my taste. May God illuminate our hearts with this truth from his word this morning. Thank you. If an unconverted man were taken away into heaven, where Christ sits in glory, this would not be possible, of course, but bear with me in this analogy just for a moment. And if he ever heard Christ's words of love toward the believer, he would not have the capacity to understand those words. He couldn't comprehend how Christ could see any loveliness in poor religious people. Now suppose that an unconverted man were to overhear a Christian in the privacy of his devotions, when he's really earnestly in prayer and meditating on God's word, and as that unconverted man listened to his words of adoring love towards Christ, that unconverted man could not possibly understand those words. He could not comprehend how the believer could have such a deep affection toward Christ, who was unseen, and if he were to be seen, as Scripture recalls, has no physical beauty, nothing to attract us physically to him. It's the natural man, as Scripture says, knows not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him. And there are many, perhaps some, who will hear this message on the internet who dislike religious people, especially Christians, because you find them to be so stiff, you see them as gloomy that they're not attracted to the company of believers. If this is you, take a look at what Christ says and what he thinks of them just for a moment. As the lily among thorns, so is my darling among the maidens. Look how different you are as an unbeliever from Christ. There may be some hearing me who have no desire to follow after Jesus Christ, who never think of him with pleasant thoughts. You see no beauty in him, nothing that attracts you to him. You don't love his name. You don't pray to him. Well, take a look at how the believer views him. Look at how different the believer's views are from yours. Like an apple tree among the trees of the forest is my lover among the young men. I delight to sit in his shade, and his fruit is sweet to my taste. Can you see how different you are from Christ, and so different from the believer? You see, this verse tells us that the believer is unspeakably precious in the eyes of Christ, and Christ is unspeakably precious in the eyes of the believer. Look at what Christ thinks of the believer. Like a lily among the thorns is my darling among the maidens. Christ sees nothing so beautiful in all of this world as the believer. All the rest of the world is like thorns to him. But the believer is like a beautiful lily in his sight. When you're walking in a wilderness all overgrown with briars and thorns, if your eye falls upon some lovely flower that's tall and white and pure and graceful, growing in the midst of the thorns, it looks particularly beautiful. When I was in Norwich, England a few years ago, I happened to visit the cemetery where Robert Govet is buried. I was there with a couple of other people who were also interested in this historic figure, but it was very difficult to locate his grave marker. And it took us some time, even though one of my companions had been there before. You see, the problem was that the cemetery had been intentionally permitted to become overgrown with tall weeds and thistles as a part of some naturalist movement. It was very disturbing to me, but not so much to my British friends who were accustomed to that practice in cemeteries. And once we found the grave, we cleared the weeds back from the tombstone to expose its features and the inscribed words as they were intended to be viewed when they were set there in 1901. And as we stood there, to those of us who were admirers of this man, his tombstone was like a lily among those weeds. If a lovely flower were in the midst of some rich garden among many other flowers, then it wouldn't appear to be so remarkable. But when it's surrounded with thorns on every side, then the eye is drawn to it quite easily and naturally. And family, that's what the believer is in the eyes of Christ, like a lily among thorns is my darling among the maidens. But look at what Christ thinks of the unconverted world. It's like a field full of briars and thorns in his eyes. Scripture says, in fruitlessness do men gather grapes of thorns and figs of thistle. Because it's true that Christ gets no fruit from the unconverted world. The world is all one wild, wide, thorny waste. And that's because when the word is preached among them, it's like sowing among thorns. Scripture says, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Christ himself reminds us in the New Testament that when the sower sowed, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them out. And it's like that preaching to the unconverted. And that's because their end will be like that of the thorns. They're dry and fit only for burning. And Scripture says, for the earth, which is often rained upon and only bears thorns and briars, is rejected and only unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Friends, if you are not a Christian, see what you are in the eyes of Christ, your thorns. You may have many admirable qualities. You may be a valuable member of society. And you may have a hope that it will go well for you in eternity. But see what Christ says, your thorns and briars. Unless in this world you are converted, you're fit only for burning. Look at what Christ thinks of the believer. Lily. A lily among thorns is my darling among the maidens. The believer is like a lovely flower in the eyes of Christ. And why is this? Because the believer is justified in the eyes of Christ, washed in his blood, and is pure and white as a lily. Christ seeing no spot in his own righteousness, and therefore he sees no spot in the believer. A believer's nature is changed when he finds Christ. Then there was a time when even the believer was like the barren thorn, fit only for burning. But now Christ has put a new spirit in him. And instead of a thorn, he grows up to be a beautiful lily. Christ loves the new creature indwelled by the Holy Spirit. He says, all my delight is in him. If you're a Christian, don't pray and any heed to the world that despises you. Remember, Christ loves you. He calls you my love. This is a world that is lying in wickedness. And in it is a little flock that believes in Jesus. It's one of the marks of Christ's people that they're alone in this world, and yet they're not alone. It's one of the beautiful things which Christ sees in his people, that they are solitary among a world of thorns, like a lily among thorns, as my darling among the maidens. Family, don't be discouraged. The world is a world of loneliness. But when you are transplanted to the garden of God, then you will no longer be lonely. Then you will be far away from all the thorns. Someday you will join the thousands of redeemed, blending with their beautiful bouquet of praise.
Amen.
You'll join with the redeemed as living flowers to form a garland around the throne of the Redeemer. Now we know what Christ thinks of the believer, but what does a believer think of Christ? Like an apple tree among the trees of the forest is my lover among the young men. I delight to sit in his shade, and his fruit is sweet to my taste. Christ is more precious than all other saviors in the eyes of the believer. When Israel was traveling in the wilderness, they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. They were glad for the shelter of the trees, and so Micah says that God's people dwell solitarily in the woods. And Ezekiel said, they shall sleep in the woods. But if a traveler is hungry, if a traveler is faint because of a lack of food, then he won't be content with just any shade tree in the woods. He'll single out a fruit tree under which he might sit down and find nourishment as well as shade. He sees, for example, an apple tree, and he chooses it out of all the trees of the woods because he can both sit under its shade and eat its refreshing fruit. And that's also the way with a soul that is awakened by God. He feels the heat of God's anger like he's in a weary land, but he's brought into the wilderness and he's about to perish. But he comes to a woods, and there are many trees offering their shade. Will he sit under a fir tree? What fruit will that fir tree give him? He may die there under that tree. Shall he sit under a cedar tree with its mighty branches? He may perish there too, because it too has no fruit to give. And family, the soul that is taught of God seeks for a complete Savior. The apple tree is revealed to the soul. He needs to be saved from hell and nourished to heaven. Like an apple tree among the trees of the forest is my lover among the young men. When I was a boy, I remember one summer spending the better part of a day up in a cherry tree eating cherries, going from branch to branch as I delighted eating them, and I depleted the cherries that were within my reach. It was a hot day, but the shade of the tree kept me cool, and the sweetness of the cherries kept me in the tree waiting for more. But remember, family, you must not sit down under every tree that offers itself to you. I just read where Joel Osteen is expanding his ministry to a call-in show on Sirius XM radio. It's not advisable to sit down under that tree in his ever-expanding forest. Take heed that no one deceive you, for many shall come in Christ's name, saying, I am Christ, and deceive many. Family, there are many ways of saying peace, peace, where there is no peace. You'll be tempted to find peace in the world, in self-repentance, in self-reformation. Remember, choose you a tree that will yield fruit as well as shade. Like an apple tree among the trees of the forest is my lover among the young men. Pray for an eye to discern the apple tree. There's no rest for the soul except under the branch with a capital B, which is Christ and which God has made strong, and may we all find rest there. And now I ask you, why has the believer such a high esteem of Christ? And the answer is because he has experienced Christ. Scripture says, I sat down under his shadow with great delight. All true believers have sat down under the shadow of Christ. And some people think that they'll be saved because they have a head knowledge of Christ. They read of Christ in the Bible. They hear about Christ in church. They think that this is all that it takes to be a Christian. But friends, what good would you get from an apple tree if I were only to describe it to you? If I were only to tell you how beautiful it was, how heavily laden it is with delicious apples, how can you know the sweetness of those cherries I described to you unless you were on one of those branches with me, eating alongside of me? Or if I were only to show you a picture of the tree, or if I were to show you the tree itself at a distance, how better off would you be? You'd not get the goodness of its shade or the pleasantness of its fruit. And the same is true of the good you would get from Christ if you only hear of him in books or in sermons. What good would all that do if you did not sit down under his shade? What am I trying to say to you? Only this: you must personally sit down under the shadow of Christ if you are to be saved. Christ is the bush that has been burned yet has not been consumed. It's a safe place for a hell-deserving sinner to rest. Some may be hearing me who say, I sat down under his shade, and yet you've forsaken him by chasing after the things of the world and have been drawn away from Christ. May I assure you that the world is a wilderness of thorns. There will be no refuge for your soul except in Christ. Come and sit down again under the shadow of your Savior. You know, there are many people who think there's no joy in religion. They think it's a gloomy thing. They say when someone becomes a Christian, they have to say farewell to all pleasure. They have to say farewell to the joys of life, farewell to a host of things that bring joy. They say you must exchange these pleasures for reading the Bible and dry books about faith. This is what the world says, but what does the Bible say? I sat down under his shadow with great delight. Family, let God be true and every man a liar. Still, it's true that no one can believe this except those who have tried it. Do not be deceived, friend. The world has many sensual and many sinful delights. The delights of this world are attractive to the natural heart, but they end in an eternal hell. But family, sit down under the shadow of Christ. Wearied with seeking after false saviors, at last to find rest under the shadow of Christ. Can you say, Lord, evermore may I sit under this shadow. Lord, evermore may I be filled with this joy. And because the fruit of Christ is sweet to the taste, all true believers not only sit under the shadow, but partake of his pleasant fruit. And just as when you sit under an apple tree, the fruit hangs above you and around you and invites you to put out your hand and to taste, so it is when you come to submit to the righteousness of God. Amen. Bow your head and sit down under Christ's shadow. All other things are added unto you. And what is added? Earthly mercies are added. They're sweet to the taste. None but those who are Christ know this. When you sit under the shadow of Christ's earthly mercies, as Scripture says, bread shall be given to you, your water shall be sure. These are sweet apples from the tree of Christ. What's added? Afflictions. But afflictions are sweet to the taste in Christ. Every good apple has some sourness in it. And it's the same with the apples of the tree of Christ. He gives occasional afflictions as well as mercies. He sends soul afflictions, but even these are blessings in disguise. But when a dismal thing, what a dismal thing when afflictions are not under his shadow. But family, look at your sorrows as apples from that blessed tree. If you knew how wholesome they are, you wouldn't wish to discard them. You are Christ. You know how often your soul is fainting. Well, here is nourishment to your fainting soul. Everything you need is in Christ. He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." But more than this, Christ gives promises of glory. Promises of glory. Some of the apples have a taste of heaven in them. Some of the apples have a taste of heaven. Feed upon those. Feed upon those. Some of Christ's apples give you a pleasant anticipation for the fruit of Canaan, for the clusters of grapes from the valley of Eshcol that the Israelites carried out into the promised land. And finally, won't you pray with me? Lord, evermore, give me these apples, for they are sweet to my taste. May God bless his own word to us this morning. Let's pray. Father God, as we walk through this life, as your children, saved by your precious gift of Jesus Christ, and by faith, let us sit not only under the shade of refreshing of Jesus Christ and the power of your Holy Spirit, but let us reach out to our eternity and taste its sweetness. Let us experience not only refreshing in this life, but hope and joy, the taste of life to come. Father God, for those who are unredeemed, for those who are still defiled by the things of this world, let us be an invitation to that shade and to that fruit. Let our lives be such that we are used as your instrument, as an attraction toward the tree of life. And let us be that blessing that draws others to Christ. Use us, Father God, here in this church as we look at so many empty seats and we realize that there is a dying world just outside of this church building. Let us represent a taste of the sweetness of your fruit, and let us show the way to the shadow of Jesus Christ and the pleasantness of sitting in the shade of his tree. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
For more information about Chestnut Hill Baptist Church, or to subscribe to these audio messages via our podcast, visit our website at chestnuthillbaptist.org. You can also write to us at Chestnut Hill Baptist Church, 2 Bethlehem Pike, Philadelphia, PA, 19118.